Welcome back to Happy Porch Radio, the digital agency podcast for progressive agency owners and web professionals. Season 4 is an exploration of diversity in our industry, especially gender diversity. This season, your host, Barry O'Kane, is joined by some wonderful co-hosts for conversations with agency leaders and diversity and inclusion experts.
Welcome to the final episode of Season 4 of Happy Porch Radio. Yes, this is the end of another season. And one of the things that, for me, made this season especially fun was the three wonderful co-hosts who have joined me. And so in this final episode, all three join me to look back over the season. We touch on some of the ways various guests have impacted us and some of the things that we are taking away. We hope you enjoyed this season as much as we did, so please do get in touch to let us know what was good and what could have been better. And now on with the show.
Let's start with meeting the three of you who have been so amazingly generous and kind with your time and taking part in this season and co-hosting this season. So Eric and Kelly, we kind of spoke a little bit to you in episode 2 or 3 of or 1 of this season. So Kate, can you just say hi and just tell us quickly about a little bit about who you are?
Yeah, absolutely. My name's Kate Rostance. I run Fat Free Media, which is a film and animation agency, and we're based in Nottingham in the UK.
So tell me a little bit about the agency. We kind of got a little bit of chance to, so we didn't get a chance to speak much about your background and what led you, you know, why you're running an agency and where you are now.
So all the way through my teenage years, I always thought that I'd wanted to work in marketing, and with a slight kind of sidestep into watching too much Ally McBeal and thinking I wanted to be a lawyer. But then when I graduated, I started working in marketing agencies of different sizes and disciplines, right at the bottom, but always in kind of client services and project management and problem solving and working with people. I kind of found my feet in a few different agencies. At the same time, my then boyfriend was a filmmaker and needed someone like me. So we decided to join forces, and a wedding, 2 kids later, here we are. So we're now a team of 9 or 10 of us, and we've got specialisms across different styles of animation, 2D, 3D, illustration, and editing as well. In terms of how we split up the way that we run the agency, I run the business and the clients and oversee those relationships and the projects and the finances and HR. And Neil runs the kind of creative, the ideas, the kind of client strategy. So there's a clear division down the middle.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And thank you again so much for taking part in this whole season. So Kelly, hi Kelly.
Hi.
Welcome back. Can you just as well remind the listener from way back in episode 1 a little bit about you?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'm Kelly Molson. I'm the co-founder of Rubber Cheese, and we're a web design and development agency based in Sawbridgeworth, which is about half an hour outside of London. So we're right in the suburbs. We've been in business for 16 years now, which is slightly crazy. But I'm the managing director, so I do very similar roles to Kate, really. I keep the team happy. I liaise with clients. I do lots of sales meetings. And my co-founder, Paul, he heads up the creative division and looks after the studio and any of the work that comes in and out.
Awesome. And thank you as well so much for taking part in this conversation. It's quite fun.
Welcome.
And hi, Erica.
Hello.
And like Kelly, we spoke to you we sort of found out a little bit about your background in episode 1, but I would love to hear a sort of refresher on that.
Sure. Erica Questenberry. I have worked in agencies previously, and I am now a solopreneur, as my mom likes to call me, for Red Design. So I'm a UX UI designer, and I work with agencies and in-house companies to fulfill any UX UI design needs.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So I'm really excited about this whole conversation because each of you have taken part and joined me co-hosting, and we've spoken to a bunch of different people. And I want to focus this conversation on kind of reflecting on that and trying to pull that together. So just as a kind of opening question to the floor, so to speak, was there anything in particular that any of you picked out that was particularly interesting or useful and specifically valuable that you've actually taken away from taking part in these conversations and maybe impacted in your work or your agencies?
Oh gosh, I mean, there were so many things, and there still are so many things. I feel like I need to go back and re-listen to a lot of the episodes because there's so many things that I can take from them. But I think one of the biggest things, when we first started this podcast series, I had a real kind of interest in what we could do as an agency to build a more diverse team. where we're located, it is particularly difficult to hire developers. And I think that is a countrywide challenge at the moment, but it does seem particularly difficult here. And we'd never had any CVs or applicants from female women developers, which really is not great. And I think for me, it was, how can we change that? You know, how can we make that different? And listening to the interview that you did with Elizabeth Gibbons was absolutely brilliant. That episode was so, so spot on for me, Erica and Barry, and I took so much away from it. I think the biggest thing that I took away from is that, I mean, Elizabeth runs an organization called Zero Seven, and she really wanted to hire women developers. But she realized that she couldn't just let that happen. She couldn't be kind of reactive about that. She needed to be proactive. So I really loved what she did about putting herself where she could find them, you know, going out to meetups, making it actively known that she was looking for women to apply to these roles, and then putting the things in place that would make that easier for them. She became more proactive about calling people quicker when those CVs did come through, and making sure that she was having those conversations quickly and putting people at ease that this was going to be the right place for them to come and work. And that, for me, was the biggest takeaway from that episode. It's, you have to be proactive about getting people to come and work for you rather than just waiting for them to apply.
Yeah. And Elizabeth, I think, is a really interesting in that she's really strong and really opinionated about that. So she was driven to go out and make some of that happen. What's interesting to me is that it doesn't take the sort of the amazingness of somebody like Elizabeth to make little things like that that actually make a difference, hopefully, over time. Have you actually changed anything or done anything that's impacted from that conversation?
It's interesting because we're not currently hiring officially, but because it's so difficult to hire here, I'm always on the lookout. So what I have done is made sure that I've spoken to the right people who are in those kind of circles. So I haven't been to any meetups that are specifically for women developers as yet, but I have spoken to organisations like, there's an organisation called Sync Develop Her in Norwich, who are big supporters of women in tech. So I've made connections with people in those organizations so that they know that we are actively looking for women to apply, and they would be the first place that I could go to and ask them to kind of help me spread the word because they've got that network already.
One of the things that I reflected on with after that conversation was Elizabeth, and maybe Erica, you have an opinion on this as well, is there a cultural difference in some of those nuances? So Elizabeth obviously is in Queensland in Australia. You're obviously living in the US, and the rest of us are in the UK. But Erica, you and I have met Elizabeth at a conference in Brisbane. Is there any differences culturally there that, you know, might impact about how we look at some of those things?
I don't think I know the Australian culture well enough. but I'm sure there are subtle differences. From my experiences in Australia, obviously I grew up in the US, I think there are similarities. I think they definitely still run on the patriarchal societal work model from what I can see. But I also think that there's a laid backness there that's not necessarily present in the States, maybe a little on the West Coast, more so than the rest of it. But yeah, that's a good question. I'm sure there are, but I don't know that I could articulate what they are.
Yeah, I'm particularly interested in that question as we, in my team, we've got lots of different nationalities represented. Is that something, Kelly or Kate, that you have observed, or anything around the sort of cultural impacts? Because we've spoke to several people from a couple of different places this season.
I don't know, Barry, to be honest. I don't know. I mean, I'm very, very similar to Erica. I don't really know what the culture is particularly like in Australia or in the US, really. I guess, I mean, one of the things that Elizabeth did talk about is that she had to work really hard to define what her culture, what the culture of the agency was, to make it more appealing for women to actually apply. So I guess it does make a huge difference. And again, it's something that you've got to be really, really proactive about, making sure that it is the right cultural fit for women to apply, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's been lots of advice relating to recruitment specifically in this season that I found really useful. And like you, Kelly, we're not actively recruiting at the minute. So I'm like, yeah, I'm going to put my job descriptions through Textio, and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. But those things haven't quite come into fruition just yet. I think that one of the really big things that I've taken from this season is I came into it with my eyes open and ready to kind of, you know, have those conversations. And that's also how I'm leaving it. Like, I've got such a greater awareness in my day-to-day life of my biases and the fact that everybody has biases. And I think Dan's episode did some great work on like normalizing the fact that, oh, no, we're all biased in different ways. And being aware of those and being able to see them out in the wild as well, that just having that level of awareness has really kind of changed my approach and made me think more critically about the workplace environment and culture that we establish and we continue to establish and how we want to be in the world as well.
I think that's so true, the whole awareness thing, just being able to talk to so many different people from different walks of life. Like I got to talk with Molly Watt, who is registered deafblind, and that was a whole eye-opening thing to me about all the different groups of accessibility type things for web work and just things that I never would have thought of. And then talking with Chris Howard and the whole LGBT community, this whole gender discussion is so much bigger than I think that I thought it was going into this season. And so just hearing from these different people from different walks of life has just been fantastic to me.
What I also find really refreshing about this, though, especially for myself and for you, Kelly, as an agency owner, Newbury, is that we can change the rules, that we're not in a big organization that we have to kind of go against policy and campaign for change. We can be the change, and we can decide how we want to be different and intentional in the way that we run our agencies to be more inclusive and to be more aware of how these issues affect us.
Yeah, I could not agree more, Kate. The idea of having a smaller agency where we can be a lot more flexible about what we're doing is so much more appealing, having been part of this podcast series. Just even the small things, like you said about Textio, I'd written that down this morning as one of my notes. But, you know, being able to do that and not having to run it past 10 billion people to make sure that I can do that is so refreshing.
That's something that I really took away as well. And also that it doesn't have to be, oh, I need to wave a magic wand and solve this whole problem or be perfect or anything, that there are some small things of just doing the work kind of. I think both Chris and Dan and a few other people talked about not trying to address the broader problem, but actually trying to just do some small things within recruitment or within the team or within the agency and conversations, which, as you say, in a small team, and that's the reason I have, work in a small team, is that kind of flexibility and wanting to be able to work within that team and for us to create something rather than to be a small cog in something. And then one of the other things that really stood out for me, I don't know if this is something that anybody else even, if it stood out as much, but that little exercise that Chris talked about with the kind of describe what you were doing, you know, without using pronouns or whatever, even not just because of that specific exercise, but the idea or that something simple can allow you to kind of understand and emphasize and start a conversation within a team or within a small group of how to be more aware of accessibility inclusion issues and therefore how to be more aware of being a better teammate and stronger, therefore a stronger team. So what else stood out, or what else would you have liked to have talked about more?
I have not listened to all the episodes yet. So maybe it was covered. I don't know. I come from the other side of things, whereas I don't run an agency. I am stepping into cultures. So for me, I guess I feel like I have a more of a unique challenge of how to deal with things when I step into a more toxic culture. I'm not always the most diplomatic person. It's something I work on regularly, but yeah, I guess that I would just love to know, how to be a better advocate for women when I don't necessarily have the power to change anything when I'm stepping in and out of situations.
But that was one of the major things that I took is, I think from the beginning, I thought that diversity and inclusion was largely centered around gender and race and sexuality. But actually, this season has really opened my eyes into it being about so much more than that. I hadn't considered, although I am on the receiving end of it, like how my status as a parent, how people are discriminated against as parents in the workplace. And I thought that the section on trying to use LinkedIn with a screen reader and how frustrating that is, that had literally never crossed my mind as an able-bodied person. So it's about so much more than, and I've really got that better awareness of it. And I felt that the season was quite well-rounded in that respect, in terms of lots of different ideas and lots of different focuses as well.
One of the things that I've taken away is an understanding of things that I would like to be more involved in as well, because of interviews that I've heard. So speaking to Kelly McKenzie, White Bear Studios, about her SHAPE initiative. I mean, I think what that initiative is doing to, you know, get more school children into design and the creative subjects is so vital at this point. And it's something that we'd like to be involved in as an organisation going forward. But just that's something that, I'd love to see her kind of take nationwide as well. So I think that, you know, if that initial conversation has sparked something in us to be able to do that, I'd really hope that it sparked that in the listeners as well.
Yeah, that would be wonderful to think that we've done, planted some little seeds or been part of the broader conversation as well. At the start of the season, one of my concerns was wanting to very much be part of a conversation rather than sort of trying to get people involved, you know, thinking that we're preaching or that I know what I'm talking about. So I think it's really cool that we had so many people on who did know what they were talking about and who were very down to earth and real rather than, you know, rather than preaching or attacking and just talking about some very actionable things and doing things like that, as you say, that SHAPE initiative and a couple of other things, like even in a more nascent fashion, Harry's Carers in Tech, which is literally just, you know, Trace just trying to put something together very small. That for me was very inspiring.
Kate, the interview that you did with Assad really struck a chord with me as well.
Yeah, he was a really fascinating guy.
I met him a few weeks ago at an agency collective event and really loved speaking to him. It was really interesting, the conversations that you had around whether he would choose to work with a certain agency or not based on how diverse they were. And that really struck a huge chord with me and made me look at the people and how we operate as an agency and how we could improve that. To think that other agencies or other people would be looking at that and considering whether they would work with you or not was a huge eye-opener.
Yeah, it's one I really struggled with. In my past, when I was a student, I worked in law firms as a legal secretary, and a lot of large law firms have their clients impose on them like an ethnic diversity like quota, and you have to have a certain proportion of your workforce that falls into a BME category. And I didn't like it. I didn't like that kind of the quota element of it. And it was a tough one because the tendency, when I asked that question, I was looking at my team, we're going, well, okay, I'd get a point for that and I'd get a point for that. And I don't want to look at the team in terms of a quota. And I would never want somebody to look at me and go, oh, well, you're a female agency owner, therefore, you know, you didn't get here on your merit, you got here on something else. And like Dan Robertson said in his interview, like positive discrimination doesn't work. So equally, diversity is a great thing, and bringing together people of different backgrounds, different experiences, different cultures is going to provide a richer and wider experience pot for you to do what you do best as an agency. Mm. But at the same time, it's about fostering that without making it about quotas. I still don't know what the answer to that is, but it was, it was interesting to talk about with Assad.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know what the answer is either. And I would hate to look at the agency and think that you'd have to have quotas. That is just an awful, awful way of building a team that, I mean, ultimately it's not diverse, is it? It's forced. And that just would not work for me at all. It would make me feel very uncomfortable. So I don't know what the answer is there.
One of the other things I found really interesting that I found out about this season was about Project Implicit, which is a Harvard research program that you can do online, and you can do these little quizzes, and it basically tells you how biased you are against different groups. And I sat and flicked through the first one, which was around gender, and I was really surprised, as a female myself and as a strong advocate for other females, that the results came out that I was a little bit discriminatory towards women. So I thought the whole concept of bias and the different types of bias that you can have, you know, as someone who sits here and thinks that they must be quite enlightened and, you know, not part of the wider problem, it was really refreshing to look at that and actually I do have my own biases and that everybody does. And actually part of the bigger picture is doing the work and finding out what your biases are and being aware of them in order that you can observe your behavior from a kind of third party perspective to make sure that your actions aren't being intrinsically biased against women, in my example.
I've made a note to go and take those tests. I think we all need to do that.
Yes, I have as well.
Yeah, same, ditto. And I think that's another great example of something that's actually relatively low investment in terms of effort to go and do, but could be, even if, you know, you got to take, or I would want to take the results of the pinch of salt, how much can they tell about me after a 15-minute online test? But at the same time, to be able to take that, you know, being open enough to take that on board and then reflect on it and see if there are ways that that might change the way I should be, basically. Erica, I wanted to go back to something that you said a few minutes ago about going into teams. And is there anything that you think is relevant to talk about more that might be an interesting area to explore from the point of view of a team who is, so people, you know, as an agency team, periodically we get freelancers and people coming in, joining the team for projects or whatever. Is there something that, you know, you can say, there's some things that this team does better when I'm joining them versus something this other team?
That's an interesting question. I've never really thought about it before. I think there are some teams that I struggle more on because I feel like they won't let me do my job. And I can't necessarily attribute that to gender per se. Maybe they're just micromanagers. Maybe they're controlling, they can't let go of the project. I don't know. But there are definitely teams I've stepped into that I've had more success with than others, that are more fun to work with. And I feel like they value the decade plus of experience I bring to the table. Does that answer your question? I lost track of the question. Yeah.
I think it does. Because the part that's interesting to me about that is, in this season, we talked a lot about recruitment. And there was some conversations, but one area which I, in retrospect, would love to have explored a bit more was after recruitment, like, which is very similar to what you're talking about, when somebody joins the team or when the team changes. Kelly, was it you that were talking about, you know, the impact, the changing, the potential impact of hiring people and the impact that might have on changing the team?
Yes, I was actually. When we first started speaking, we'd had a couple of people move on and then a couple of new people join. And I guess I was kind of interested to see how that would change the culture, interested to see how the whole onboarding process of building an agency and bringing new people on, it was quite interesting. And I just, yeah, I guess I was kind of looking at how that was going to change things here and the best ways of doing that. And I guess, Erica, you're kind of doing that all the time because you're going in mm-hmm. and out of different organizations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I would like to think that I changed the team for the better, but it's hard to know. And I try to ask at the end of projects and get feedback like, you know, good things about working with me. What can I work on? What did you find frustrating? What can I do better the next time around? Sometimes people are candid with me. Sometimes they don't answer me. It's hard to know. It's hard to know.
And Erica, when you go into different organizations, kind of comparing your best experiences with your worst experience, what do the companies that you enjoy working in best from a culture perspective, how do what they bring differ to everybody else?
I guess it's when they come with an open mind and they come with the willingness to collaborate and let me be part of the team rather than dictate to me. I'm very flexible in how I work. I'm very willing to step into people's workflows and their processes and use their tools and things like that. I feel very disrespected when I step into teams that want me to just be the hands of the project instead of the creative brain behind the project. So I guess just that openness and that willingness to allow me to be a part of the team instead of, you know, just the hands that complete the work for them is kind of the biggest thing that I feel.
So another topic that I wasn't expecting to come up in this season, but actually has had quite a big impact on the way I think, or maybe was something I wasn't consciously aware of, and that's Carol's conversation when we talked about, I guess, background, as in social economic background, and how that impacts your opportunities, and how that as well, it's not, I was thinking about that as a sort of globally spread conversation, you know, working with somebody in one part of the world versus somebody who's here, but actually that there's quite a big difference even within one city, for example?
I thought that was an interesting conversation as well. And I love Carol. I've known her for a couple of years now. And I don't look at her and see a person who grew up in a lower socioeconomic class. I guess that just never crossed my mind about her. But it made me realize how privileged I grew up, I guess. And, you know, both my parents are in the medical field, or they were in the medical field and had higher degrees and basically encouraged and enabled me to do whatever I wanted to do. And I didn't consider tech. That wasn't on my radar initially, but because they were in the medical field, you know, I set my sights high for whatever I wanted to do. So it was an interesting conversation that somebody in your own town could have such a different experience and feel very differently about education and job opportunities.
And there was one other conversation, which again, in the same way, kind of was slightly different to, or was very parallel to the main thrust of the season. And that was the conversation with Peter I had about events and diversity of people attending events and equal opportunities and things for speakers. Erica, I know that you've spoken at a couple of events. Is that something that you've noticed in terms of attending events or opportunities to speak?
Well, I think you have to want it. At least when I started, I definitely had to pursue it myself. And I hate public speaking, but I also like to torture myself, I guess. So it's something that I strove for and I reached out for. And I, at least in my development circles now, they're starting to get better about reaching out to women and trying to balance that more. But I also see a lot of women who have been encouraged by seeing other women speak, and they're more willing to put themselves out there now too. So I think it's that, it's the same with when women are looking for jobs. When they look at your about page, if they see other women, it's kind of like this snowball effect, like, oh, I can fit in here, I can do this. And I think it's starting to come more to play again, at least in my circles. I don't know about the broader tech industry at large. I actually don't normally see a lot of women speakers on the rosters for conferences I look at, but I'm hoping it's starting to gain some momentum.
We have a really great event in Nottingham called Women in Tech. And one of the things that they do is have lightning round talks. So this is to encourage women in the local area to give it a go, to give public speaking a go, and to maybe not stand up and speak for 45 minutes on a subject they're very passionate about, but instead stand up for 5 or 10 minutes and give a brief overview about it. And I thought that that was a wonderful idea to encourage and to make it a less daunting task. I'm not great at public speaking, and things like joining you guys for the podcast is part of my efforts this year to get more confident about putting myself in the public sphere. And I think that it's a muscle that you need to exercise. So I think those kind of the lightning talks are a great way of taking that first step and starting to exercise that muscle.
Yeah, absolutely, Kate. I mean, Barry, I know that you've done a lot of podcasts for this series, but there's so many more people that I could recommend that we could speak to. I don't know if anyone knows Lauren Curry. She's Red Jotta on Twitter. Absolutely incredible woman. She's founded something called Upfront Global. And it's really interesting. It's Upfront Global is all about improving confidence. So it's elevating and encouraging new voices on and off public stages all around the world. So she encourages public speakers to share the stage. So for instance, Kate, if you were going to stand up and do public speaking, if you ran that event as an upfront event, you would have maybe 3 or 4 other people on the stage with you, not necessarily speaking, but just sitting and being on that stage. And it's all about just putting yourself where the action is. So putting yourself in front of that audience, just to build that level of confidence about being there. And that's kind of the first step of public speaking, isn't it? You know, it's a huge fear being in front of all of those eyes watching you.
I love it. What a great idea.
It's so good. It's really, really good.
You are right there when you say that one bunch of conversations is barely scratching the surface of so many different parts here. This, unfortunately, is the end of the season. I wonder if I should look at doing another one in the future on similar topics.
Yeah, go for it.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And I really do appreciate all three of you giving up your time to take part in this. I think it's made this season far and away my favorite of the one I've done of the podcast. Fortunately, we run out of time now. So thank you so much again. We'll put links to everybody's agencies and profiles on happyporchradio.com. And for the listeners, please do message us, let us know, get in touch about what you enjoyed about this season. I really would appreciate the feedback. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for inviting us, Barry. It's been great.
You can get all the links and notes from this episode on happyporchradio.com, where you can also find out how to send us questions, feedback, and get involved in the conversation about this series. If you enjoyed the show, please share with anyone else who might enjoy it too. Thanks for listening.